It's that time on a Thursday. We get our view from the north. See what he's up to. Comcast Sportsnet online. CSNNW.com. Stalking Ducks on Comcast Channel 737. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today, sir?
What is up, gentlemen or gentleman?
Gentleman. I like that. So, your commute rate. You live in Portland. Spring practice. Talking about practice. So, how often are you getting down here, making that 4-hour round trip to see guys run around in shorts?
Man, I'm not even gonna lie to you. With this early time for media stuff, I'm trying to boycott.
The first ever media boycott of Oregon. Football
Dude,
practice.
8:30 a.m. interviews yesterday. Although Arroyo didn't really come over and talk to us till I think more like 8:50, but he was supposed to start at 8:30. So I was in Eugene by 8:15, 8:20. The whole time just going, damn you, Willie Taggart.
So what's the obligation? Once a week, twice a week? You're not coming down here every day, are you?
Oh, of course not. Okay. Well, they've had 5 practices.
Yeah.
I've been there twice.
All right.
I might come tomorrow.
Is that a threat?
It's sort of like I really don't want to talk about it publicly because I keep waiting for someone to tell me to go down there more, but I'm trying not to because I think spring practice is just
All right, well, we will delete this file like Nixon on the Watergate tapes.
Let's put it this way. Out of 15 sessions counting the spring game, I will probably make 6 or 7.
All right. And if somebody asks us, even at gunpoint, we will deny ever having this conversation. So after Oregon lost to North Carolina, there was a lot of talk about what would happen with Bell, Dorsey, and Brooks. Would it be all of them, two of them, none of them, one of them? I don't remember a lot of discussion about Casey Benson. what was your read on his deciding to, I guess, transfer down a level?
No, he can transfer to a D1 school because he's going to graduate in the spring and be a graduate transfer.
Right.
So he can go and play right away anywhere he wants, just like these guys that Altman goes out and gets these transfer, like
Kazemi and guys like
Mosier.
That.
Mosier came in, was able to play. He's trying to get Elijah Brown from New Mexico or something like that right now.
Right.
Might be, you know, so I think so Benson can go anywhere he wants and play. I'm not sure where he's going to go. I haven't seen anything yet where he's planning to go.
Apparently, there's a word that it's Grand Canyon U to play for his brother, who's an assistant to Dan Marley, going back home. He hasn't said that, but that's being floated out there. That's intriguing or weird. I just find the whole thing confusing.
It's interesting. Maybe he just figures he's been to the mountaintop. He probably figures maybe he's not going to be able to go to a good Division I program and start again, so he might as well go somewhere you can play and be happy. You know, if he wants to go play for his brother, maybe it's just, he just feels like that is something he wants to do. I was kind of surprised, I guess, because I didn't figure he would leave, but at the same time, I know he wasn't happy about losing a starting job to Peyton Pritchard after the season he had 2 years ago when he only had 24 turnovers, I think, and 38 starts.
Right.
17 assists, which is just an insane number. I mean, that's just 24 turnovers, really. So I talked to Peyton and him at the Final Four, and both admitted that there was some friction between them, those two, to start the season because they were competing. And Peyton said basically he doesn't like anyone he's competing against, and that he probably was the more immature of the two, and probably didn't handle things well because he came in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But said that they became closer and more friends as the season wore on. But if you're Benson and you're like, well, if I come back, I'm still going to be a backup to Peyton at the point guard position. I know I'm not going to start with Peyton Pritchard. They're going to bring in a bunch of other guys who are going to be able to play the wing. So I'm either going to be a backup here for one more year on a team where all my buddies are gone, or I'm going to go somewhere and play and I'm going to be happier. So more power to him.
By the way, speaking of that, way to win Twitter with the picture of Will Smith in Uncle Phil's empty house.
I'm getting grief for that, though, because people were saying that someone else had it up first with Peyton Pritchard's face. Actually, what's funny is I tweeted out someone needs to steal Fresh Prince Will Smith alone in the house with Peyton Pritchard superimposed over his face. And I hadn't seen the tweet from the guy who actually did it. So I just went ahead, since I don't know how to do that kind of stuff,
right,
I just went ahead and just did the Will Smith one and just said Peyton Pritchard be like, So the people were clowning me, saying, you're late on this. Look at the timestamp. Someone else beat you to it. Like there's some kind of like copyright infringement.
Believe me, I didn't realize there was an actual timeline on sarcasm. I mean,
exactly.
You gotta be kidding
and mine
me.
Got more likes than the other guys' anyway. So
there.
Yeah, thanks,
so. So the week started with Tyler Dorsey made his announcement. And, you know, the thing that's interesting, you got to watch how you phrase this because he says, well, I'm entering the NBA draft. I've seen a lot of mocks. I don't know that he's a lock to get draft. I mean, again, I would never begrudge a young guy to try and go get paid, pursue a dream, whatever it is. A hot postseason going to make all the personnel people look back a pretty inconsistent regular season? That make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he goes to the combine and does really well, maybe he can open some eyes and get picked. I don't see him on any mock drafts, but let's remember that mock drafts are, you know, they're mocks, right?
Right, yeah.
They are what they are. They change daily. And, I mean, Jordan Bell went from second round to the first round, you know, based on the tournament. So you never know what NBA scouts are truly thinking and where people are going to go. So maybe he has some belief that he's going to be at least a second round pick. Always figures, worst case scenario, I'm going to go overseas and make some money. So I think sometimes, and sometimes I admit, sometimes I don't, I mean, I know overseas is out there, but I always think, well, you're going to be in college, try and get to the NBA. If you're not ready, you stay in college. But there's something to be said for, okay, if the NBA doesn't want me now, they're not going to want me later, and I'm not going to come back and play for free when I can go overseas and make, even if it's $200,000 a year,
yep,
or $300,000 a year. That's still a lot of damn money, right? How many people coming out of college making, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 a year, let alone doing so playing basketball. So, you know, more power to him. I was a little surprised because I thought that, man, especially if Brooks left, Dorsey can come back as the guy. Like, it would be his team, and he could average 20 points a game and maybe elevate his stock.
No, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I'm not right about a lot, I'm finding. talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. Let's get to the NBA. So a guy from Portland calls Jim Rome today. He got run. He said, Klay Thompson, trash. Steph Curry, trash. Draymond Green, trash. Said the Blazers were going to upset him in round one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how deluded is this guy?
Can we use integers?
Crank it up to 11.
I guess they have a puncher's chance because Lillard and McCollum can fill it up. They played them close last year. Now, it went 5 last year, right? But there were a lot of close games in there. But Golden State did have Durant last year. And I know Nurkic is playing well, and he might be back, but that doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't outplay Durant in any way, shape, or form. So I'm going to say next to zero chance of Portland winning the series unless guys get injured. Now, remember the Clippers series last year, they were down 2-0, right? Getting blown out twice in L.A., and all of a sudden Clippers started dropping like flies. And next thing you know, the Blazers are in the second round. So barring injury, I would say that Blazers are done in 5.
Well, the BPI on ESPN gives – every series and a percentage chance to win, they listed Portland as a 1% chance to win the series. So, I always look for an angle. Sometimes I think I can outsmart the experts. I'm looking at the West and the East and be like, yeah, I'm still thinking we're going to get the same finals for the third year in a row. Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't buy anyone beating a healthy Cleveland team in 7. But I will say this. I will say in the West that because Golden State's interior defense is suspect, that I think they might have some trouble along the way. Like someone's going to take them into an interesting series. And let's remember, last year they had Durant, but Oklahoma City had them on the ropes.
Yep.
Right? So, but now they have Durant, so you figure, well, obviously it's not going to be Oklahoma City, but could Houston run and gun with them and get hot? Or maybe San Antonio? I'm not believing it, but you never know. Something might get interesting. At least I'm hoping. I don't like the Warriors. I'm totally anti-Warriors.
Yeah, I know. Ever since KD left, you just
when they won the 73 last year, I was bitter because I'm a Bulls fan. So I really wanted them to lose because it doesn't matter if you don't win at all, right? And then they get
right.
KD, which I think is the cheesiest move in the history of the NBA with on Durant's part. So, yeah, I want them to lose really, really badly.
How dare I forget your bitterness over the 72-10 Bulls? That's totally my bad. That's a Sports Talk host demerit for me. Let's get to Duck football. You brought up an interesting topic on the Comcast site. You have this three and out there and this supposed open competition at quarterback with Herbert the one, Travis Johnson with the twos. You think that if there's kind of a glut there that people are going to get impatient and frustrated and somebody lower on the totem pole is just going to leave?
It's happened every time since I've been covering the team. I'm surprised Travis Johnson stayed. I really thought he would leave after the fall. I thought he might have left last when he dropped the fourth last fall camp.
Right.
Go now somewhere, sit out a year and then play. He could have played this year, but the fact he stayed, I thought, okay, I mean, he's definitely going to transfer in the season. Nope, he stayed. I asked him, you know, so do you feel like even though Herbert played last year that there's truly a competition that's truly open? And he said yes. So they're all buying in that there's open competition. I personally think that, yes, there might be in Taggart's mind, but I think he knows that he has to see something amazing from the other guys to beat out what he's already seen Herbert do. We'll see how it works out. But I always feel badly for quarterbacks who, you know, have the talent to play and to be a starter, and they just get trapped behind someone else, and you can hold the clipboard for the rest of your career. I mean, Brian Bennett, you know, had he not left, he'd have been backing up Mariota for the rest of his career. But he did the smart thing and left. And then years ago, Johnny DeRocher, when he got beat out by Dennis Dixon to become the backup to Clemens, DeRocher bailed. Like, right away, boom, he went to Washington and started a little bit up there. So I just think, you know, they have four really talented guys, and they're all within sophomore, freshman of each other. Different
right.
levels of sophomore, freshman with redshirt thrown in there, but they're all within sophomore, freshman of each other. So if any one of those four is going to have to leave if they ever want to start, other than Burmeister, who can redshirt and then be separated by 2 years. But the three main guys, someone's going to have to go. And I think if I come out of spring and the Taggart tells me I'm third, I probably bail, figuring that Burmeister is fourth and he's the future because Taggart recruited him personally.
Right. No, that makes sense. Let's wrap with this. Another video you posted was something that surfaced here last week. They have co-offensive coordinators now, Arroyo. There's kind of a new dynamic. There's been one coordinator here forever. So what did Arroyo have to say about, I guess, working kind of hand-in-hand with the other Coach Chris the ball?
Yeah, you know, he said he's done that before. It's going to work fine. They both have, you know, defined responsibilities. Arroyo's got the passing game, and Mario Cristobal has the running game. Interesting, though, I'm going to write about this later, tonight or tomorrow morning, but I talked to Taggart about it later, about how that's going to work, because he is calling the plays.
Right.
So he has a running game coordinator, a pass game coordinator, and then he's the head coach / it's my show, I'm calling the play coordinator, right? So he said, and I asked him, I said, you know, so why don't you ever give up play calling? Why do you like to hold on to that? One, it's fun. Two, this is what he said. Two, he tried it before his first 2 years at South Florida. Things didn't go well. And then he took back over the play calling 2 years ago in 2015. Now, granted, Quentin Flowers came of age, so that obviously helped. But he just feels like he knows what he wants with his offense. He knows how he wants it to run, so he's going to take charge of it. And if anyone's going to get, you know, if things don't go well, he's got to take the blame. He's going to make sure he was calling the plays to take the blame. He's going to take the blame. He wasn't calling the plays.
Right.
But he said it's going to be, you know, Cristobal will handle scouting the other teams, you know, front seven and figuring out the best way to attack in the run game. And then Taggart will do the same, but Cristobal will spearhead that. And then Arroyo will do the same thing in the passing game, and they'll coordinate that stuff in practice based on what Taggart's overall big picture vision is. And then, you know, you game plan during the week. Play calling is a little overrated because you have your plays, your charts, and everything like that. And then when you get in the game, Taggart will call it while receiving suggestions here and there from Cristobal and Arroyo.
All right. That's good information. As always, keep up with Mr. Fentress, CSNNW.com, on Twitter @ Aaron J. Fentress. Get yourself some rest for those rugged four-hour round trips. I guess enjoy Saturday in Portland, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
All right, guys.
Take it easy.
Care.
All right.